Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to hour two of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I'm Buck. With me here, my main man, Clay. Actually going to be joining me in NYC shortly, which is going to be a bit of a COVID
mask tour.
COVID culture shock. Everywhere Clay goes, the masks are donned. It's like they're protecting themselves from the spread of Clay.
I'm a mask super spreader. I went to L.A., mask mandate, land in Vegas, mask mandate, about to go to New York. What's the latest on the mask mandate in New York City,
no
by the way?
Mask mandate in NYC. However, they're pushing vaccines, and we'll get into that in a second, trying to use the private sector to backdoor it. Although when Clay lands here, I worry that there'll be an emergency Mayor de Blasio meeting where he'll say, we have to wear masks. So we'll see how that actually goes and shakes out here. But we will be unmasked bandits together here in NYC. Also want to tell you all that the EIB 24/7 VIP email is up. Simply go to clayandbuck.com, look on the right side for the VIP email icon, make sure you're logged into your EIB 24/7 account, and then use the email form to send us your thoughts. You can send Clay and Buck, that's me, not to be third person, your message, and you will get priority. And also want to give a shout out to the fact that August 1st, Clay, was the 33rd anniversary of the EIB network, and over at rushlimbaugh.com, we've got a ton of material from Rush's anniversary shows past. Always fan favorites. EIB 24/7 members can watch and listen to all that, Clay, and more. And we're just getting started with all the fresh content as well we're going to be putting on EIB 24/7.
Yeah, it's going to be an awful lot of fun. Encourage you guys to all go sign up for the VIP there. You'll be able to reach out to us directly via email. We may even set up a special VIP phone line, which we did on the old Outkick show. And I think we're testing to be able to allow the VIP members to get front of the line access when we decide to take calls, which is pretty cool. So go sign up today.
It's like the Bat phone, but the Clay and Buck phone. You know, maybe we'll even get like a Clay and Buck signal that people can send up in the sky of two guys with great hair. That would be
a fantastic signal. Probably racist and sexist.
Well, you know,
the Bat signal would be racist and sexist today.
I mean, we would be appropriating.
You need a man to show up to protect the world. A white man to show up to protect the world. That's sexist and racist to even think about it.
So another thing that we have to remind everybody of day in and day out here is that while they've pretended, because, you know, we've been talking about masks in the last hour, and the mask mandate in New York City looks like it won't happen right now. But I got asked to mask up over the weekend. You know, Clay was in Las Vegas. They're masking up there. So you can, you know, have your three martinis and your two cigarettes in each hand and, you know, eating quarter pounders with cheese at 4 a.m. Yes. While you gamble away your mortgage payment. But you're not going to be breathing in any of that nasty COVID air. But the vaccine push is still very much underway here. And Governor Cuomo of New York. But Clay, the worst governor for the pandemic? Is that fair? Or do you think Newsom, who gets the top spot?
I don't even
spot?
Think you can say worst governor for the pandemic. I think you can make a strong argument that Governor Cuomo, if the goal of a governor is to protect its citizenry and help them to have jobs, I think you can make a strong argument that Andrew Cuomo is the worst governor of most of our lives, not even just the pandemic.
So not just the worst in America, the worst in America in living
most
memory.
Most of our lives.
That
yes,
is bold talk.
Certainly the 21st century.
That's bold talk, Mr. Travis, but I will co-sign. Here he is on how he's not going to mandate it. He wants the private sector to mandate it.
Private businesses, I am asking them and suggesting to them, go to vaccine-only admission. Go to vaccine-only admission. We did this, Radio City Music Hall, months ago, reopened, vaccine only, sold out all the shows. Sports arenas, they went up to about 90% vaccine only. Private businesses, bars, restaurants, go to a vaccine only admission. I believe it's in your best business interest.
That's kind of like, nice business you got there. Be a shame if the state authorities came, shut it down, fined you, and ruined your livelihood. I don't think anybody is unable to read between the lines here for America's worst governor, Clay.
Well, and again, this is significant because I think people are seeing it, but they're not really tying it all together because I can see this directly connecting to big tech. What government is doing now is they are seeking to pressure private industry to enact rules that the government itself would not be constitutionally permitted to enact. And so this is a default state action that is being demanded by the state of New York. The state of New York, I don't believe, has the legal authority to mandate vaccines for all residents of the state of New York. But what they're trying to do is make it so wildly uncomfortable for people based on being able to do their day-to-day life that people just throw up their hands and say, oh, okay, I'll get the vaccine. And again, it's a backdoor attempt at a mandate, which would be unconstitutional if the government tried to do it itself. I think that's significant, not only here, but also in the way that big tech is being used. We need an aggressive investigation into whether or not this constitutes state action.
And it's also a way of getting around the accountability mechanisms here, right? This is true in the whole budget process that's playing out right now, where you have the infrastructure bill has come out separately from the budget. We haven't even seen the budget. We'll talk more about this in just a few moments. But the whole point of having a 2,000 plus page infrastructure bill is nobody really knows what's in it. People just pile stuff into it. So therefore, no one's really responsible for the waste, the fraud, the abuse that happens. With so many of these Democrat in particular, but there have been Republicans who are very bad on the pandemic lockdown stuff as well. It's, oh, I'm just listening to the public health officials. Well, then who's really responsible for the bad decision making? The public health official or the politician who says, I'm just listening to the experts? Same thing here with the private sector and big tech acting in concert with them as part of the private sector, of course. Is it Governor Cuomo's fault now when you go into a store and you have to have a vaccine? And also, is that store responding to what they think is actually good policy for their customers? Or are they worried about what could happen to them under a governor like Cuomo, who is so heavy-handed when he doesn't get his way?
Buck, also, there's going to be a huge market for fake vaccine cards, right? Because it's not as if these vaccine cards, if you look at them, are incredibly high-tech. And anybody who's ever been on a college campus knows that 18 and 19-year-olds who want to get into a bar get fake IDs. Irrespective of the fact that you are now requiring the vaccine, who is going to be checking vaccine cards at the entrance to the bar, right? Are they going to say, hey, I need to see your ID and your vaccine card? That seems to me to be a big mess. It's not like you're going to have public health experts reviewing vaccine cards. They're just going to be getting printed I know that Kamala Harris doesn't think people have access to Kinko's, but there's going to be a lot of fake vaccine cards just rolling out if people really want them.
Clay, to be fair to Kamala, who is already considered the least popular vice president in living memory.
Yes.
Congratulations, VP Harris, considered the worst by Americans in like 50 years.
And also to have done so in the first 6 months, when usually there's a glow of a new administration, when certainly there's that patina of excitement over the fact that if you read mainstream media, the first woman, the first minority woman to hold the vice presidential office, yet she is so wildly unpopular that already they're talking about Weekend at Bernie's 2 style, trying to drag Joe Biden across in 2024 again for fear of what she would do to the Democratic Party if she's the nominee.
But I just wanted to be fair, because she was very clear that it was only those rural folks who can't find a copy machine.
Yes,
or can't,
right.
You know, it's rural
people. They can't
people.
Get IDs.
You know,
yes.
they don't know how to use, you know, all that electricity and all the big words and all this stuff. Really condescending stuff from the vice president, which may go to why she is not exactly super popular with the American people.
Democrats hated her when she ran for president, Buck. She had 1% support. She collapsed.
She was popular with media executives and hedge fund managers in New York and Los Angeles. I mean, that's her base. And the New York Times editorial page to some degree. But, you know, I had promised everybody that we'd talk about the vaccines, but also this data that I teased. I just wanted to get to this as well about mandatory vaccinations. Because you've been led to believe, if you pay attention to just, in a general sense, the media, that it is Republicans who are unvaccinated, it is Trump supporters who are the problem. Let me just hone in on the city that I know the best, New York, which is where I'm from and where I currently am sitting. Clay, the public school, there are 135,000 public school employees. This is as of July 26. I'm giving you this data, okay? 135,000 of them, and you have about 40%. I'm sorry. Yeah, 40% are vaccinated. NYPD's 54,000 uniform and civilian workforce, 43% vaccinated. 42% of the Department of Corrections. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's 40% unvaccinated for teachers. I mean, okay, 60% are vaccinated, but you're talking about tens of thousands of public school teachers in New York City who are mandating that kids wear masks, but they're not willing to get vaccinated right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, Buck, what it does is it speaks to how artificial the line was that these teachers were terrified they were going to die if they actually taught. Because if you truly were terrified of COVID, you would have gone and gotten the vaccine immediately, right? I think what this reflects is a lot of teachers are youngish in their 20s and 30s, and that's the group that's not. We should mention, by the way, that we've reached 70% of adults who have received at least their first vaccine. So we know those numbers. We don't have the numbers like we talked about out of England, but that's pretty crazy that teachers would be statistically less likely than adults in America to have actually gotten their vaccine.
It's teachers in New York City, too, who yes. I can tell you, if you're a teacher in the public school system in New York City, I actually have a few friends who were secret conservatives who teach the public school system here. There's a 90% chance you're a hardcore Democrat, Biden, Bernie voter, no question about it. Okay, so that's why you got almost half of them, and it's a big workforce, 135,000 unvaccinated. I'm sure in the nursing homes, Clay, where I actually think that starts to be like special consideration time. I mean, I think nursing home staff are at an elevated responsibility for COVID protocols. Right. A lot, like something like 40% of nursing home staff is unvaccinated in New York City. And remember that this the state runs a lot of those. So we'll come back into the latest on the vaccines, the mandates, but also the latest with the eviction moratorium. Clay and I got big thoughts for you on that. And the infrastructure bill, which we mentioned, is big. I don't think it's quite Obamacare big in terms of the pages, but it's pretty close. One of the many things we talk about when it comes to gold is protection. Protection is important for your portfolio, but the greatest satisfaction I've had is in buying gold from the Oxford Gold Group when the package actually arrived at my home. It was like Christmas morning. I invested, and then I actually had that investment in my hands, real gold. Well, my partners at Oxford Gold Group have precious metals that can be delivered to your home, and there's nothing like that real gold arriving on your doorstep. Now, when I open my safe, I have my passport, my home protection, and a bit of reserve cash. Real gold from the Oxford Gold Group right there. So if you think buying real gold is complicated, my friends at the Oxford Gold Group are who you need to call. They'll explain everything to you. Having real gold delivered to your home or having real gold as part of your IRA is just a phone call away with Oxford Gold. Call them at 833-404-GOLD and learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. Call Oxford at 833-404-GOLD. That's 833-404-G-O-L-D.
As a public health person who wants to see this pandemic end, yes, I think anything we can do to encourage reluctant folks to get vaccinated because they'll want to be part of these public events, that's a good thing. I'm delighted to see employers like Disney and Walmart coming out and asking their staff now to be vaccinated. I'm glad to see the president has said all federal employees, I oversee NIH with 45,000 people, need to also get vaccinated, or if they're not, to get regular testing, which is inconvenient. All of those steps, I think, are in the right direction. But I think maybe that's what it will take for some of those who've still been a little reluctant to say, okay, it's time. The data will support that decision. They are making the right choice for their own safety. But sometimes it takes a nudge.
Yeah, a nudge, they're calling it. Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck. Clay, let's just get right to this, man. When they say things like encourage, what they mean is coerce. When they say create incentives to get vaccinated, what they mean is we will make your life miserable. We will shut you out from society, even if, as you and I do, you have had COVID and have antibodies to prove that you still have protection from COVID, you do what they say or no groceries. You do what they say or no movies. We're right back to where they said we would never be.
Yes, and I think it's also significant to bring up, we talked about this early in the show, but England opened up fully on July 19th, Buck, right in the grips of the COVID Delta variant. And they have seen their cases collapse. And people say, well, why have their cases suddenly collapsed in England? Well, they have a large number of people that have been vaccinated, but also they've done a study to find out how many people have had COVID. And England's now, it appears, at COVID herd immunity as 92% of all people in England either have had the vaccine or had COVID. We don't know what the percentage is in the United States, but we do know that 70% of adults 18 and up have had at least one shot now. It seems reasonable to me, Buck, that we would have around 92%. And I wanted to hit this, too, because this has just come out. I want to read. I don't think you've seen this. The House Intelligence Committee, the minority group of the House Intelligence Committee, has just released a additional finding, they believe, on COVID. That they're releasing it because believe it will help inform public debate about what happened with COVID. They say it's the opinion of the committee minority staff, based on the preponderance of available info and all the attempt to hide and destroy evidence, that COVID was accidentally released from the Wuhan Institute of Virology Laboratory. And this is kind of interesting, Buck. Sometime prior to September 12th of 2019, the virus may be natural in origin or the result of genetic manipulation, they say, was likely collected in the caves in Yunnan province sometime between 2012 and 2015. Its release was due to poor lab safety standards and practices, exacerbated, the House minority staff says, by dangerous gain-of-function research being conducted at inadequate biosafety levels. The virus was then spread throughout central Wuhan, likely via the Wuhan metro. And that is really interesting because we haven't seen a story, Buck, about September of 2019 as being the release date.
It's going to seem more and more clear as evidence piles up that this was a lab leak. No matter what Facebook says, Clay, no matter what the social media giants try to censor.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. Almost 20 years ago, 9/11 hit. And right now, we have got a 500-mile journey through six states in 42 days to honor those fallen. Frank Siller from the Tunnel to Towers Foundation laid a wreath at the Pentagon and started towards Shanksville. Along this route, he's joined by 9/11 families, veterans, first responders, and the foundation's program recipients. Parades planned in several cities to honor the fallen and the community's local heroes. Then, on the morning of 9/11, Frank will retrace his baby brother Stephen's footsteps 20 years later, walking from the tunnel into downtown Manhattan to where the tower stood. His brother was one of 343 members of the fire department of the city of New York who died. 2,977 people killed. So many more have died since. We need to keep the promise to never forget. Honor heroes by donating $11 a month at t2t.org. Welcome back in. I am Clay Travis. This is the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us as we roll through the Monday edition of the program, continuing to react to COVID madness, but also we've got eviction madness, which is still tied to COVID madness. And for those of you out there who are familiar with the history here, there was an eviction moratorium that was effectively put in place, which may have made initial sense with the ridiculous lockdowns back in March of last year. But we have continued to extend that eviction moratorium. We have continued to allow COVID madness to govern our decision making. And we finally now are coming to the end of the eviction moratorium. And not surprisingly, there is now an uproar. And I think this goes to a larger context, why you have to be careful with the rules that you put in place. Because as you well know, Buck Sexton, once people get used to something, it is very, very hard to take that away from them without being considered the Grinch, right? It's easy to give people things, but there's a great psychological study where the risk of a dollar, if you have a dollar in your hand, you're less likely to risk it to try to earn $2 than if you don't have that benefit in your hand. And now that that benefit exists, this is a question that many of us have been asking for a long time. How do you go back to normalcy? How do you dial back the insanity and start to return to some form of normalcy in something simple like landlord-tenant relationships, which historically the landlord gets paid by the tenant in order for the tenant to occupy that, that location. That hasn't been the case. There's been all sorts of issues. And finally, we're getting back to that normal relationship, and Democrats aren't happy.
Only $3 billion of the $47 billion in aid authorized by Congress already to help renters pay their landlords has actually, Clay, been delivered to landlords as of June 30th. So that's the most recent data we have. $3 billion of $47 billion. This is a remarkable case study in so many things. One is, I mean, this is just the government. This is effectively the seizing of property without due process. I mean, they can call it whatever they want. They could say it's a health emergency, yada, yada. But at the end of the day, they're just taking money from some people and giving it to other people under the assumption that this is more fair, this is better because we're in the middle of a pandemic. But there are people who own properties, who are landlords, who now are they're behind on the payments they have to make to the bank.
Everybody has become behind.
They've had to run up credit card bills that they wouldn't have otherwise. People buy homes because it's part of their retirement portfolio, and there's so much going on here. This was just an arbitrary, you know, mass hysteria based decision among so many others during the COVID pandemic. And what you see right now is if they accept that the eviction moratorium ends, that's yet another data point for, well, then isn't COVID over? So like, how could you be calling for mask mandates or vaccine mandates if the eviction moratorium is over? Oh, is this all kind of arbitrary and based on whatever some of the people in power feel like and also think will benefit? Oh, it's that? Okay, so it's not the science that's pushing all these things. So that's why I think the eviction moratorium is such a third rail. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi is getting a lot of pushback from the more progressive members of the House because they love this. I mean, there's a whole movement in social justice circles on the left, Clay, for occupying private space, meaning that you just go into some place where someone doesn't live and just stay there and say, I'm going to occupy this, meaning not going to pay you. It's essentially like glorified squatting.
Squatting.
Because they view this as a form of redistributing wealth from the landowning class to the have-nots.
What's going on all over California, right? I mean, there are people listening to us right now in some of the nicest areas of California where the homeless have just set up squatter rights like right on the beach. So you can live in a multi-million dollar place in Orange County, be walking down to the beach and not feel safe to walk to the beach because of all the squatters. I mean, I know I just got back from LA. Venice, which had become a really desirable place to live, is now filled with homeless encampments and people don't have any interest in leaving. Santa Monica, all these different places, which are otherwise beautiful, have been taken over by the homeless. And to your point, Buck, it's not even just tenant relationships, right? With landlords in terms of individuals, the entire industry of property management has been torn asunder by the COVID realities in that forbearance issues with, I mean, people forget that almost every building, the owner has a mortgage on that too, right? Like, this goes to me, the Democrats not understanding the way that basic business exists, in that the landlord has typically a note on the building that they pay for based on what the tenants are paying them, right? There's a large flow chart and all of it is torn asunder when you give basically never-ending moratoriums.
And you have to wonder what's going to actually happen for a lot of these landowners who are behind. Are they going to manage to get made whole here? But they said $3 billion of the $47 billion. So that's one thought that I have, because they're remarkably slow with this. And just the notion that you can decide that in a health emergency like this that lasts for months and months, you can just take people. What they're doing is taking property. I mean, this is,
yes,
you are saying to people, well, we would prefer if people didn't have to, because, by the way, what is exactly the epidemiological basis for you can't not be in your home? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, or rather, you know, you have to stay where you are. People are going to work. People are frontline workers. People, you know, I understand this is like, it's appealing, this notion of the eviction moratorium. It's like, oh, no one can be kicked out of their homes. Okay, well, then why should people ever be kicked out of their homes, Clay? It's a mean thing to do.
It's an interesting perspective, right? Because initially, the government mandated lockdowns, which meant that many people could not work. But now we've reached the point in 2021 when there are over 9 million open jobs. For most of American history, I believe this is the highest amount of open jobs. And there's a ton of people out there listening to us right now nodding. If you drive around in any city right now, there are big placards up begging people to go to work. So I think it's hard to feel bad for someone. I understand it initially when we made the disastrous decision to ever put in place lockdowns. If you're not allowing people to work for a two-week process, remember 15 days to slow the spread, well, that's been 18 months. And so at some point you have to end this, because to your point, Buck, if you've ever owned a property and had to go through the eviction process, it's pretty time consuming in many cities, and it's almost become impossible over the past year and a half.
And there are stories of people who have run through their entire life savings because they poured it into a property that they were then renting out and trying to build financial stability. But during the pandemic, they had squatters, or rather, right, just people that were refusing to pay them any rent. And because of, particularly in California and New York, incredibly favorable laws, there was very little recourse that they had to deal with. I mean, there's also at this level of, you see PPP and these different government programs. The government's not even very good at shoveling money out of helicopters to people. I mean, the government can't even get this particularly right, because if they could, it would have been, well, if you lost your job, right, you were supposed to have people that were able to get paid by their employer so they would stay on payroll. But we still had millions of job losses, businesses shut down, closed down. And I also was opposed to shutting down any businesses in the first place. So that's a whole other thing. The whole notion of lockdowns
both.
In general.
Yes.
Because anyone who says otherwise, I would say we never actually locked down. We did partial lockdowns of some businesses at some times in some places, while a lot of people were just continuing on with their lives. But, you know, Clay, there's an addiction here at a broader level, an addiction to rule by emergency that the Democrats, if you're an authoritarian, this is amazing to you, because you don't have to worry about, is it constitutional? Am I respecting private property or the rule of law? It's an emergency. We have to do this, just like they kind of did in 2020 with the election laws in a whole bunch of states. Kind of reminds me of that.
Not only that, Buck, there's an argument out there, and some people really believe this, that the Delta variant threat is being exaggerated because it provides cover to infrastructure and the budget bill as this process is playing out. What's back on the front pages and all the discussion, COVID, what's not being discussed, the biggest expansion potentially in taxes in American history, it's all sliding right under the radar. You might need to save money, Buck, as you know. And the best way to save money for most people out there is by refiing your home. Listen to me carefully here. Everybody is looking at that budget for the fall. Maybe you're starting to look at next year. Maybe you're thinking about Christmas presents. Maybe you're thinking about vacation. Maybe you spent more on summer vacation than you thought because you wanted to make up for 2020. Maybe you got tuition payments. Whatever you have, you could save up to $12,000 a year or more just by calling American Financing right now. They can put your mortgage, whether you're getting a new one or refining, in perfect shape. $12,000 a year or more. I want you to call this number right now, 800-777-8109. Get your phones, Don't wait any longer. 800-777-8109. It's nonsense not to call right now. Right, Buck Sexton?
800-777-8109, as Clay said. Remember, American Financing are experts at what they do. They provide you with the lowest possible rates, incredible service, and fast closings. It takes as little as 10 minutes to get started. And you could postpone two mortgage payments. But on top of that, just the savings, as Clay said. I mean, that credit card debt you got, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 maybe, gone in less than a year just based on the savings from going with American Financing on your home loan. Visit AmericanFinancing.net. That's AmericanFinancing.net. American Financing, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
The Delta variant is more contagious, threatening to spread faster among the half of the country that remains unvaccinated. Needlessly evicting families would risk escalating our public health crisis. The CDC understood that reality when it issued an eviction moratorium in September. The agency was clear, and I want to quote the language they used. Housing stability helps protect health. It's right.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. There you had Elizabeth Warren saying that housing stability protects health. If that's true, Clay, I mean, and let's just assume for a second that is true. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if we could all just live in a place where everyone gets to live in their house and not pay any rent? I mean, that would make a lot of people happy. That would be really nice. I mean, they tried something sort of like that in the Soviet Union. I know that's not what we're doing here, but the principle starts to get pretty interesting because, yeah, of course you could make this assumption that people should be able to live rent-free indefinitely. You know, why not? Well, there are reasons, in fact.
In fact, the people who live rent-free or pay the least rent often live in the most crime-ridden neighborhoods in America, of course, right? But the logical extension of many of these democratic policies is to eliminate capitalism, which is what allows America to thrive, and replace it, as you said, with communism. There's a lot of those 1940s and 50s cinder block buildings where people were able to live in Russia. Now, the elevators didn't work. They didn't have any heat or air in those buildings. And eventually everybody fled outside as capitalism came in some way to Russia. It fails, right? Government mandated programs overwhelmingly fail over time because allocating resources to government as opposed to the free market is a failure almost all the time because government doesn't move fast enough and because it disincentivizes, as we're seeing right now with the tax increases that Joe Biden's trying to rush through undercover much of the way of darkness, by the way, the biggest tax increases ever. It's all madness.
Yeah, I mean, this is why central planning, which is the root fallacy of socialism and communism, that you can have a bunch of experts who make the decisions for everyone everywhere that will be in the best interest of those individuals. This plays out in all aspects of society in ways where we see the results are bad, but there's emotional appeal here. There's a sense of, oh, but what are we going to do? I mean, here's Congresswoman Cori Bush, who's out there saying, you know, you're going to have millions on the street unless you keep this eviction ban going.
So if we need to streamline the procedure, how this is supposed to happen, and just say, just put it into the text that we need to make it, the money should go directly to landlords. If that's what needs to happen, let's do something. I think that we should be thoughtful enough to try to figure this thing out so that anywhere from 7 million people to 11 million people don't end up on the street. Because look, we haven't fix the housing crisis that we already have. How do we put more people on the street and then in a deadly global pandemic that is surging?
First of all, the surging thing, enough, okay? The cases are going up. They're much lower than they were, and deaths and hospitalizations are nationwide very low, entirely manageable as a health issue. I know we've said this, Clay. I feel like we have to just keep repeating it because the madness is all over the place. And then beyond it, so what exactly is supposed to happen here? So the Democrats won what? You're going to have every landlord in America has to be made whole by the government before anyone can be evicted. How long do you think that's going to take?
not only that, it's wildly inefficient. And I would just come back and respond to Representative Cori Bush there. By the way, the one, I think the last time we talked about her on this show was maybe when she was denigrating America. Didn't that happen on July 4th where she said, like, America is an awful place? I feel like we were ripping her to shreds. She makes a living off of taxpayers and therefore expects that taxpayers should pay for everything. But the answer here is, and I hate to be crass, I hate to be totally and eminently reasonable, people need to go get jobs and fill some of the 9.2 million open jobs right now in America. And if you go get a job, you can afford a place to live, because American jobs right now are paying wildly exorbitant salaries, partly as a result of this Joe Biden inflation environment. But there's a ton of demand for jobs.
This is the closest that the progressives have ever gotten to universal basic income. The pandemic with the unemployment benefits, the eviction moratorium. They liked it. But you mentioned Cori Bush, what she said on 4th of July. I just want to remind everybody, member of Congress, she tweeted out, "When they say that the 4th of July is about American freedom, remember this, the freedom they're referring to is for white people," end quote.
Yes.
That was 4th of July. Enjoy your time with friends and family. America is a racist, horrible place. Oh, she's a Democrat. Anyway, and as you know, as a Democrat, that's fine. Clay, I watched some football last night. I was very excited, too.
So did I.
So we can talk about America winning and then America losing on the female side of the equation with this. You know what I mean? And the Olympics coming up.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff to dive in there. It's going to be a lot of fun. What a mess the U.S. women's team soccer has made of their American exceptionalism. We'll talk about it next.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.